There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Spare Change. Danielle Trotta, Ryan Flores, Corey LaJoy, coming to you from Bristol Motor Speedway. Qualifying just wrapped up like a minute ago. And our boy, top 10. Let's go. Corey,
let's freaking go.
I had no idea you were even good at Bristol. Where did that come from?
Danielle, newsflash, I'm good everywhere. I just haven't had a chance to show it yet. We had a good car. And it's so freaking tight. Like, you can, a 10th is the difference between making the top five of your group or finishing 12th in your group. So for us to execute the day, we were really good in practice. But it's easy to say, oh, we laid a good lap down. But the work starts on Tuesday on the simulator when I'm in there from 7 until 9:30 at night, right? It's like, it's not happenstance to get a shot to compete for a pole if you're just on your heels, not attacking. So, excuse the helicopter, probably Jeff Gordon taking off from the racetrack here. But yeah, like, it's not surprising to me to have speed because we put the work in. On Tuesday night, 7 till 9:30. And then Wednesday morning, 8 till 10:30. And we knew that we wanted to come here and attack and lay down a good lap of qualifying because that's pretty much how you're going to run all night. So for us to be able to do that and execute today, I'm pretty pumped up.
Start next to you, Flores. Size 11.
Yeah, I think we qualified 11. It's not much speed out of the Penske cars, but top 10 Harrier, dude. Next time you get in the top 10, you got to get in the single digits. You're closer.
I know,
you're closer.
Twice now.
Only a couple hundredths off this time.
Yeah, we made the top a second time this year. We made the top 10. Watkins Glen was the other time. I was a couple tenths off at Watkins Glen that second time around. But you get those guys that in the second round know that they're in when they're the last couple cars out. It's like all those little things now are what separates the guys that win from the guys that are trying to, like us, trying to just get there. And when you just get there, now then you can start refining. Okay, now we can run a good enough lap on lap one to cut it to nowhere in group two to give yourself a chance at the pole, right? Give yourself a chance to win the race. But I'm just super proud of my team, man, because we've come a long way. I've come a long way as a race car driver. I can remember the day, it wasn't how many years ago, where I was just trying not to be last. I mean, that was legitimately the intention coming to the racetrack to not be last. So we're not content with 10th. We're proud of it, but we've got 500 laps tomorrow to see how we stack up.
I think that was the biggest takeaway for me when I saw that you had made it to the final round. I was like, okay, now they made it to the final round for the second time. Let's see if they close that gap up, right? Because everybody else that's up there, you know, they expect to be in that final round and they have a plan for it. Where I feel like at Watkins Glen, you guys were like, oh, let's go cool this thing down, yeah. Right? Where you were, I mean, you were one of those guys. You didn't just squeak into the top 10. You weren't the last guy in. You solidified yourself in there with a couple cars left to go. So it was nice to see that Sparks and the boys were, you know, they were ready to go and had a plan. And you were right there. And you didn't have, you know, it was super interesting to watch qualifying, much like it was at Darlington, because when they have that traction compound on the bottom and you have to hook the bottom, you see guys like, we talked about him last week. Maybe the most talented guy in the field hits the apron, about wrecks, qualifies damn near last. So it was fun to watch because you could see whose cars were.
I don't think it was damn near last. It was last.
I didn't know. I didn't want to speak out of school. I knew it was close, but
no, it was last.
But yeah, so like that's what you could see if someone charged a corner too hard, if someone's stuff they got to the bottom and it sheared off the bottom, or if they turned too good and got stuck on the apron. It was really fun to watch.
Man, it's like qualifying well is just a snowball of your weekend. It could go snowball to the good end or the bad end, right? Where there's 12 openings, as you know, on pit road here at Bristol. with a front stretch and back stretch pit road, and we have the chance to get one of those openings, whether it's an in or out, it could potentially get you a couple spots or at least maintain your track position all night. So I feel good about it. And Danielle, after watching practice, I saw you were at the racetrack. It's nice to see your smiling face in person with race cars going around. What did you see? What stuck out to you this week in Bristol practice?
So I thought it was interesting. The guys you thought were going to be fast were atop the leaderboard. There was no really surprise to us seeing Larson up there dominating your group. Seabell, Reddick, Byron. Seabell, third pole in a row, though. That boy knows how to cut a lap. But in terms of, like, playoff implications, what do you guys make of Truex and Harvick relative to the cut line? So let me look here. So Harvick is 21st, if I have that right. Harvick qualified 21st and Truex qualified 5th. So I feel like if Truex can grab some stage points early and Harvick finds it difficult to get track position, that cut line flips on its head very early in the race and the entire narrative changes. So not a good qualifying effort out of the four, and little surprised by that. Great run by Truex, so we'll see if he can take advantage of it.
I would like to, for somebody to pull a stat of Kevin Harvick over the course of his career, particularly the last 10 years, if the four car doesn't have a problem, how many times they finish worse than where they start. It doesn't seem like Harvick ever finished his work. Like, he's never going backwards. Like, it's not like he's losing gradually a spot or two every restart run. He is constantly getting a spot or two, letting it come to him, making his car better. Next thing you know, you blink and he hasn't had a flashy day and he's sixth. So if you had to go up against anybody tit for tat in terms of positions and clawing, Harv's probably not that guy that I would want to go. But it's going to be a battle, especially from there. Dude, it is hard to pass because, I mean, I was behind Eric Jones in practice and I think at the time I was probably fifth on the sheet and he was like 12th on the sheet in our group and he qualified 31st and I was stuck. I was a little better than he was, but we were running the same speed. So for us to qualify well, hopefully we can maintain that track position for the first couple stages and still be in the hunt. So it is. Now, I was going to bring this up to you. I was going to text you last night, but I wanted to talk about it right here at Stack and Penny's. You said something in the podcast about old Bristol being better. We saw a very relative version of that last night, the truck race, with lockdown on the bottom. And I wouldn't have considered that a great race. So what is the special sauce that we need to make it considered a good race?
First, the helicopter that just took off where you're at just flew over me. Secondly, that race is considered a good race by everybody if the pass for the lead is 5 laps later and a little bit dirty, right? Then everybody loves it. So the eye test, I don't know, I like it better than if you get to a guy and you can't pass him because he's running the fence. You can't get a run on him and you bounce off each other and knock the inside wall down. What it's going to be this weekend, I think I heard Blaney talking about it on PRN today. It's like the Xfinity cars will probably start migrating to the top about halfway into their race. And we'll probably be up there about 100 laps in, but it's going to take a swing, right? You're going to have to move up. You're going to have to move back down at times. And as long as that bottom groove is there, where if you're turning better than somebody else on the top, you can turn down and catch your left sides with it and slingshot by them, Russ, then I'm good with it. It's just when it gets to where everybody's just so top dominant, you just can't do anything with each other. That's not the Bristol you want, because even when you're running the top, you can't really move them. So
right.
The truck race was okay. You know, there was a pass within 10 to go, but we'll see with this Xfinity race, Junebug in it. See how he's able to do from 15th. I'm pretty excited to watch that.
You watched the in-car camera, his practice.
I didn't.
And I was like, Jesus, he's going to be tired being out of the seat as much as he moves his arms every lap. His right hand goes from 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and he's tugging on it. Straight away, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, tugging on it. And I'm like, why doesn't he just leave his hand at 10 o'clock and just stop moving his hand? Like, just leave it over here. And just down straight away, you're 9:30 and 10 o'clock. And then just tug it again.
He's always.
I was watching.
That.
I'm like, that's a lot of wasted move.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man.
But he's not a young buck no more. I'm excited to see him out there. It makes the inner Kannapolis kid inside me proud whenever I see Dale Jr. out there cutting it up with the regulars.
Yeah, the thing, I mean, looking at pit road for you too deep, looking at pit road, you know, the 20 car being on the pole again is impressive. And the 19, you know, the 20 and the 19 have qualified this way for the past 2 weeks, but they haven't been able to capitalize on it. Bristol is another place where pit stall one is just super beneficial to have. It's one of the, you know, one of the better pit stalls we go to, especially at a place like you said that only has 12 openings, and the 19 is probably going to get an opening out too, which is good because there's been some games going on I've heard on pit road, like certain manufacturers pitting in front of other ones. And that kind of hurts you. Like if you're the 19 and you just had an opening in, you get a car from another manufacturer that parks in front of you, it can really impede your pit stop because rolling that tire back, the more aggressive you can be rolling your right front back to the wall, the faster your stop can be. And if there's a guy that's parked right in front of you that is coming around you, you can't roll your tire into that box. You can't use that extra 10 feet. So that being said, with Harvick qualifying later at a place like this where there's not a lot of openings, he can kind of know who's coming and know where he's going to be and pick a stall and know maybe the 51 or the 78 or, you know, are going to pick in front of him.
I don't have any problem with the games being played on pit road. That's why you have teammates and
yeah,
you have manufacturer support. And OEMs, you know, if you guys stick together on super speedways and you can help someone in the pits, I don't see what the difference is.
Yeah, that's all part of it. And speaking of teammates, big news this weekend. I'm looking at the rosters right now. I scroll down to the 8 car. I see Thomas, Tingler, Covey, White, and get your tickets, Paul Swan. The 3 car guys got switched over to the 8, so they had a hell of a week in Darlington. They were right there flirting with P1, them in the 24, and they were working on their car last week, but they're in the game now. They come in the kitchen, and it's hot, and they were Kyle Busch, so we'll see what they can do. They're definitely a really good crew. The 8 car, not a bad team, just a young team, and the 3 car is just the best one in the shop over there, so surprised that that move didn't happen sooner. But excited for them guys to be in the playoffs.
Somebody put a GoPro on Swan, just make sure there's audio all night.
That guy's got more cameras on him than anybody at the racetrack. He wrote me a message this week. He said his goal is to be the dog of the week before the season's over. So he's got a shot.
He's got a shot at being a dog this week. Can't give him a preliminary dog, though. Got to earn it.
Want to know what you guys think about the big announcement made a few hours ago. Bristol said no more dirt. We're going back to 2 concrete races a year next year. What do you guys think?
So I was on stage Trackside Live earlier today, and Alex Weaver told me that kind of simultaneously while they announced it. Obviously, I knew about it coming down the pipe, but didn't know it was official until then. And the collective majority of the fans were excited about it. But I said, hey, guys, instead of applauding it, how about you show up in the spring? That way they don't put gravel, ice, what other dumb substance they could figure out to put on top of Bristol, because nobody wants to show up. So everybody that's cheering that we're back to the concrete has to come, has to watch it on TV, or else they're going to move the date somewhere else or put some other dumb substance on top of it. Keep Bristol concrete and keep it with 2 dates, but the only way to do that is bring your ass to the racetrack and watch Skull and Circle.
Yeah, you know where I stand. I love that it's not dirt anymore. I just hate that it's at Bristol. Give me just one Bristol night race a year, and I'm good with it. They can go play Tennessee Volunteers football in there the rest of the time to fill up the schedule. One Bristol night race a year, make it prestigious, and the guy who races Crown Vicks around there and the Vols can have at it the rest of the season.
I think it's a smart move. I think the majority of fans were hoping that this was going to happen, and I think the competitors too, and I think NASCAR listened. I think it's an example of NASCAR listening to its fan base and giving them what they want. And you can't please everybody, but I would say majority kind of were ready for that experiment to be over. But Jerry Caldwell told me today they're going to keep the dirt. Those 2,700 truckloads ain't going anywhere. And he said there's a chance to be back.
They kept it from the first time they put dirt on it in like 97. So they just go put some grass seed on it and they're like, all right, ready to get dirty again? Sure, let's go dig up the old dirt. Dude, but
it was great while it lasted. It was good, and it ran its course. It did its job, and I'm sure that's a hell of a task to fill that place up with dirt.
No doubt.
Hey, by the way, shout out to Bristol playing stacking pennies on the Colossus Jumbotron today. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate
shout
the love.
Out, Jerry. I mean, that's because, I mean, really and truly, if you wanted to, like, get into the weeds on it, it's not a NASCAR track. It's a SMI track. So it was like confusing to me to see our the three amigos up there just riffing about it. I'm like, hey, look. And it wasn't like just a dog of the week clip or like poorest close call of the week. It was like, there's Drew Herring. Great hair. It was like a 10-minute riff about our Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson. So, oh. I mean, we're on the big screen, ladies and gentlemen. Next stop, Times Square.
Come on. Thanks to all of you. We're getting bigger by the week. We appreciate the support. Thanks for tuning in to Spare Change. Corey, starting P10. Is that a personal record?
One thing, Danielle.
Best qualifying effort. Ties it, right?
Ties it. Things are looking up. We're getting some pace. We're getting some speed. We're getting some confidence. And when your boy gets some confidence, gets a little dog at him. Watch out. But right now, I'm about to get a little ribeye in me because I got my pit boss right here fired up, about to throw some steaks on the grill.
Who's your picks?
Hey, Cord, tell Sparks I don't want to hear nothing about unapproved adjustments tomorrow morning.
No kidding. I don't want to hear about no shocks, no nothing. Just put some duct tape on it. Let it rip. We got to start 10. We're going to the FROMT. Hey, who's my pick?
You're already there.
Might as well go get it. I don't think that even Kyle Larson, and you've all heard the bite that I have from SiriusXM. You could line Jesus up next to Kyle Larson on a green white checkered, and he'd be having his hands full, but I think Jesus would get him at the line. Even him starting shotgun on the field, I don't think he can drive from the back. I just don't think you can get yourself in an offensive position to control a lane or restart. But if anybody can do it, it's him. But I don't anticipate that. Puts him behind the eight ball big time with pit selection and just everything. But he was the clear favorite in practice of lap averages. Super fast.
Yeah, it's going to be – the leaders are going to come up quick starting that far back. You have no choice but to get lapped probably the first run. So you have to see if there's – if we have a lot of cautions in between stages and chances to flip it or put right sides on. Sounds like tires are falling off pretty good. So you'll definitely use them, and you might have to stay out or save a set. So that can jumble the pack up. If there's anybody that can do it, it's Cliff Daniels and Kyle Larson on that team. I still like Tyler Reddick, even though he's starting 12th. Toyotas are fast. I don't know. I like him again with no pressure. And between him and Chase Elliott, but I'll go Tyler Reddick. Two in a row.
I like – go ahead, Danielle.
No, I was going to say Vegas likes Tyler too. Who do you like?
I like Chris Bell. I feel like they've had speed and just haven't really executed. We've obviously talked about their pit road woes. But I feel like number one pit box again. I mean, those guys are the pit crew champions of the year. They're not going to be having set up for the same opportunity again and again and continue to. They're going to figure it out. So I think that group keeps the 20 in contention all night. And it seems like Chris Bell, no matter if it's dirt, no matter if it's concrete, he always puts himself in position to win at Bristol. I'm going to go with the 20.
All right, I'm going to go with the 24. I like William Byron. He looked good in practice too. Could be a showdown, boys. Once again, Hendrick versus Gibbs, but RFK led over 50% of this race a year ago. They didn't look shabby either. So don't forget about the Ford boys.
Bradley.
I mean, I got to encourage everybody. If you're on the East Coast and you're within a decent mile drive of this place, Bristol Night Race is second to none. So if you're listening to this, within the time frame it would take to drive your ass to Bristol, you get in your car and you drive right over right now because it's going to be electric.
Right now.
But if not, you can tune in. I assume it's on NBC. On USA. So right after Cops, you turn it on and we'll be there. They're moving the start time up to 6:30 Eastern time. You do not want to miss
it. They moved it up an hour, race fans, so adjust accordingly. Corey, go get him, bud. Ryan, be a dog.
See you there.
This is Spare Change for Stacking Pennies, presented by Mobile One. Bye, guys.